Extend greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Sometimes it's a little awkward to make these adjustments, like Dan said, but I told someone recently one of the blessings of being a deacon is you get to preach once in a while. Okay, I invite you to turn this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I have a few disclaimers this morning. Before you get too nervous, I do realize that it's almost Easter. And even though I'm using scripture from Luke 2, this is not a Christmas message. And having said that, I think I'm remembering right that this past December, this passage was not used in public worship during Christmas. The Luke 2 chapter was not used. And that's fine. We have many scriptures that we can point to at Christmas and the birth of Christ. But since it wasn't used, I thought maybe I could use it this morning. So Luke chapter 2, the title of the message this morning is Responses and Results. And so keep that in mind as we read the text verses this morning, Responses and Results. For introductory verses, I'd like to read verses 8 to 14, Luke 2, 8 to 14. We know the chapter well. The birth of Christ had taken place in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And now the text verses will be verses 15 to 20. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What I'd like to look at this morning is some responses and results as we look at these verses from 15 to 20. I'd like to look at each verse and see a response or result that took place. The first one in verse 15, they said, after they had received the message, they said, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so the shepherds, immediately once they got the message, they made a decision to go and see what they had been told about. When God or His Holy Spirit speaks to us or makes known, as it says there in verse 15, makes known things to us, do we act upon it or just pass it off? I believe this morning we have all we need in God's Word and His Holy Spirit to make decisions as we go in life. Things come to us. God makes things known to us. I believe with His Word and Holy Spirit, we have what we need to make proper decisions. some verses in Deuteronomy that bring this out. If you want to turn to that, Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. It says there, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." There are certain things that belong to God. We know that. Things that we don't understand and cannot figure out, that's God's thoughts and his ways. But it says, "Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." So it's saying to me there that we have things, God has given us what we need to make decisions. He has revealed what we need, it says, so that we can do the things that he would want us to do. Now, chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, it says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Again, here he's saying that these things are not away from us. You know, we can't say that we just don't understand, we don't know how to do it. He says here that the word is very nigh unto thee, in the mouth, the heart, that thou mayest do it. Again, I think he has given us everything that we need by his word and his spirit to make proper decisions. Verse 19 of that same chapter, chapter 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And so he's calling us there to a decision to choose life. We have what we need, I think, in order to make proper decisions. And as I was thinking about this, I just wanted to bless our young people for decisions that they have made. We have an instruction class right now of 10 individuals who have made good decisions. And since our revival meetings, we've had a number more that have made important decisions to follow Christ. And that's a real blessing. And so we have what we need to make decisions. Let's do the things that we need to do to make proper decisions. But, you know, sometimes I think Satan would hinder us. And I fear that sometimes when we face decisions, we do like the people in Elijah's day. If you remember there, it says they halted between two opinions or two thoughts. Halt means to hesitate or to skip over or to stop. 1 Kings 18:21, it says, "How long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And it says, "The people answered not a word." And so sometimes, maybe we're in that condition. We know what we should do, but we don't answer. We don't move. We don't make a decision. In the New Testament, Mark 10, you remember the rich man came to Jesus. He said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told him to sell all that he had, to give to the poor, and to take up his cross and follow me. And he halted. He didn't make any decision. It says he went away sad. In Acts, we have two men that we could say halted in their decisions. Felix was one. Paul witnessed to him, and Felix trembled and said, "Go away, I'll call you later." He did not make a decision. Agrippa also halted. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I think that's what he told Paul. He did not make a decision. As I thought about this, I thought about when we were in Belize. Soon after we went to Belize, about 25 years ago, I was somewhat taken back when one Sunday morning I opened it up for testimonies, and a man that had used to be in the church but was no longer in the church, he stood up and gave a talk or testimony. And he said, I don't remember everything he said, but the one thing I remember is he said, "I know what I need to do to come back to the church." But he didn't do it. And so, again, sometimes we don't do what we know that we should. The shepherds here made a decision. They said, "Let us go now and see what was made known to us." Are we doing what is made known to us in our personal lives, our church life, our relationships? Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we have a verse there from Paul that brings this out. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Paul said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." The things you've learned, received, heard, and seen, it seems like to me that would be the things that have been made known to us. He said, "Do, and the God of peace will be with you." I remember once Elizabeth Elliot said to, when we find ourselves maybe not sure what to do, she said, "Just do the next thing. Do what you know is the next right thing, and that will help us make decisions." Someone has said, "It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right." And so the challenge there is do the next right thing, and that will help us. Paul also said here in verse 13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And so through Christ, I believe we can make proper decisions and do the things that God calls us to. The second thing is in verse 16 of Luke 2. And this, I guess, could be a result from the shepherds doing what they knew to do because of what was made known to them. It says in verse 16, "They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." And so the shepherds here, the result of doing what they knew to do or making a decision, is they obeyed and were blessed because they found what they were told about. They, by making the decision to go, they found Christ, the babe, and it brought a blessing. It says they came with haste to do this. They obeyed quickly. Obedience brings blessing. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. I think we all know what obedience, how it feels, and how it can bless us as we're obedient to God and His Word. Had to think of Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and Mary. Various ones you could name that were obedient to God's call in their life. Paul said, I believe this was when he was reciting about his conversion. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He did what he knew to do. And then there's a verse in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That verse speaks to me of obedience. If we continue and we don't forget and we do the work, that's obedience. It says we will be blessed. May we obey and be blessed. Third one I'd like to look at is in verse 17. This would be a response of the shepherds. Verse 17 says that, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When the shepherds found the Christ, what did they do? They made known the saying which was told them. And that was the saying that was told them is verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So someone said that the shepherds were the first preachers about the Savior. They told others about the Savior. A Savior is born. Do we tell others about a Savior? Acts 16:32, Paul and Silas, you remember the Philippian jailer? It says, they spoke unto him the word of the Lord. Acts 26, Paul says, I continue to witness to the small and the great. He was willing to share with others. First, in Colossians 4, Paul says there, in my own words, he prayed that a door of utterance would be given to him to speak the mystery of Christ and to make it manifest as he ought. Paul was willing to tell others about Christ. Let's make known to others the news of a Savior. The fourth one is in verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered or marveled at the things that was told them. One writer has said, the gospel story excites wonder. The more we ponder it, the more wonderful it becomes. Is that our experience? Do we marvel at the things of God? Are we amazed at what he has done for us? And as I thought of that part, I thought about a number of songs that speak to that, and I'd like for us just to sing a few first verses of a few different songs this morning that bring out the wonder and amazement of what Christ has done for us. And this kind of, I wondered when I was studying for this, how does this fit in with this week of Christ's suffering and death and resurrection? Well, here it is. The wonder of it all. Are we amazed? We studied about that a little bit in our lesson this morning about what Christ did for us. Are we amazed and do we marvel at the things that Christ has done for us? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Let's sing it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know I am believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Then there was another song. I don't know the music to this, but I wrote the words down. Similar to the last one, I stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me, confused at the grace that so fully he proffers me. I tremble to know that for me he was crucified, that for me, a sinner, he suffered, he bled, and died. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me, enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful to me. Again, as we think of this week of what Christ has done, may we stand in awe and wonder and have marvel at it. And in continuing that thought, I was challenged by the words of the great preacher, Gypsy Smith. Some of you probably heard of him. He was a little barefoot boy that was saved in a gypsy camp in London under the preaching of Moody and Sankey back in the 1870s. And I understand he preached for over 50 years, came to the States a number of times, and in one of his preaching services, Vance Havner, some of you have heard of him, an old preacher, Vance Havner, happened to be in the service. Now, I don't know if it was before or after the service, but Vance Havner was close enough that he heard someone ask Gypsy Smith how he could keep preaching all these 50 years and still be on fire for God. And what Vance Havner heard Gypsy say was, "I never lost the wonder of it all." This morning, is that our testimony? Or could that be our testimony, that we have never lost the wonder of all the things that God has done for us? George Beverly Shea wrote a song, "Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Is the wonder of it all a driving force in our life?" Isaac Watts put it this way, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And then I was reminded of another song. This chorus goes like this: "Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have my sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled." Charles Wesley put it this way, change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before him, before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. I trust that will be our experience. The fifth one then is the response in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It says that Mary pondered the things that she heard. When you think of all that had happened, this speaks well of Mary. Think of the angel coming to her, her marriage to Joseph, the birth of Jesus, all the things that had happened. It says she pondered. Well, this word means considered, to think deeply about. And this was a characteristic of Mary. If you look in the latter part of this chapter 2 of Luke, you remember the story. They had been to the temple, and then they left. They thought Jesus was with some of the family, and a day or two later, he was not with them. They went back, and they found Jesus in the temple. And they questioned him about why he did not come with them, and he said, I must be about my Father's business. And in verse 51, the latter part, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And so I think that was a characteristic of Mary. She pondered the things of life in her heart. She portrayed the spirit of 1 Peter 3, 4, where it says, the hidden man of the heart, meek and quiet spirit, in the sight of God, a great price. Someone has said that spirit of a meek and quiet spirit is rare in the world, but it is so prized of God. Do we ponder the things of God? We may not understand everything, but do we think deeply and consider the things of God? This word pondering, someone said it speaks more of thinking than of speaking. In other words, when you're pondering something, you're doing more thinking than you are speaking. And so in our personal time with God, when we study our Bibles, when we hear songs sung, when we listen to sermons, do we ponder what we hear and let God speak to us? Again, the word ponder means consider carefully, weigh it mentally. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Matthew Henry put it this way, the truths of Christ are worth keeping, and the way to keep them safe is to ponder them. Meditation is the best help to memory. I thought I said it well. The way to keep the things of God is to ponder them, and meditation is the best help to memory. And this word meditate is a similar word as ponder. It means reflect or revolve in the mind. And so they're similar words. And then when I was looking these words up, I looked the word ponder up in the Greek. And the first word in there about ponder was the word combine. And that word means to bring together, to mix, or to unite. And so just think about that as you think of pondering and meditating. To bring together, to mix, to unite. And as I was looking that word up in the dictionary, then about the third meaning was the word that we would say it. It's the same word, has different meanings, but we would say it more combine. And the farmers would know what a combine is. And as I thought about that and thought about what a combine does, you know, actually that really fits in here. What does a combine do? It goes through the field. It takes in everything, the seed, the weeds, the briars, the grass. But what it does, it takes the seed and separates that, puts it in a bin and stores it. That's the good part. And the trash, it throws out the back. And so does that help us when we think of pondering and meditating? Do we keep the good, keep it for later use? We keep the good, but the trash we get rid of. Sometimes maybe that's where we struggle. We have so many things today that keeps us from pondering and meditating like we should, separating the good from the bad, but we must take time to meditate. We must take time to sort things out, to keep the good and to get rid of the trash, the bad. Psalm 63:6 says, meditate on my bed in the night watches. Maybe some of the older ones can identify with that better. Meditating upon thy bed in the night. Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Let's be like Mary. Let's ponder the things of God. And then the last one is in verse 20. There it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They glorified and praised God, a result of all the things that had happened to them and of the various responses. Do we glorify and praise God, or is our mind more on ourselves and our things? Romans 15:6 says, with one mind, speaks there of unity, with one mind glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in the context of working together in the church. 1 Corinthians 6:20, we are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And then Matthew 15, it speaks there about how that they glorify God when they saw the works of Christ, the healings and things he did, they glorified God. This morning, are we glorifying God for all the things that we see and hear that God is doing in our lives and the lives of others? Well, the shepherds had a good trip and experience. Verse 15, it says, they said, let us go. They went. They saw. They told. Verse 20, they returned, glorifying and praising God. As I thought of that, I thought about these verses, verses 15 to 20, could be a picture of our lives. We are born. We come from God. We go in life, we start our trip on earth, we see the things of God, we tell the things of God, and then in death, we return to God. Are we praising God as we go on our journey? Luke 10, verse 20 says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We've been thinking about responses and results. And I believe these verses are a good pattern for us to follow. So in summary, the shepherds responded by making a decision. After they got God's message, they made a decision. They obeyed and were blessed as a result. They responded by sharing the good news with others. And as a result of that, it caused amazement and wonder to those who heard it and also to their self. And Mary responded by pondering and meditating on the events of her life and of the events that had taken place. And then the shepherds praised and glorified God as a result of all these events. So I trust the challenge is for us today as we think of these verses, that we would consider how do we respond and how it affects the results in our lives. If we want good results, we must respond rightly. Let's have a song.